Now, next week, as if it hasn't been already, but this is like the culmination. But next week, we're going to begin a series called Teach Us to Pray. And in that, we're going to learn how we can connect with God in prayer. We're going to get to know the Lord. We're going to unleash God's power in prayer. We're going to know His will. You know, you come to know God's will through prayer. You train to yield to the Holy Spirit in your prayer time. We're going to develop an ear to hear what God is saying. And we're going to conform to the image of Christ so that God can heal our land. And we're going to find answers and solutions to problems in life. And those are things that we're going to learn through our series of prayer. So if you can, come. If not, listen to us online. It's going to be a great series starting next week, right here, Wednesday, 7 p.m. Amen. I just wanted to share that with you because I was very excited about it. As God just kind of downloaded those things to me on Tuesday morning. So praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles tonight, I'd like you to go to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. And in verse 18, the Bible says this: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that have been bruised." And we've been talking about all those and how we can exchange our mess for His masterpiece. Amen? We can exchange our bad things for His blessings. Hallelujah. And look at verse 19. This is what we want to finish up with tonight. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Amen? Say, this year is God's acceptable year. Amen? Some translations say the year of favor of our God. And it really refers to the year of Jubilee. It is the culmination of where things that were lost are regained. Amen? Things that were missed, you're reconnected with. Hallelujah. And so we're going to talk about the year of Jubilee, the Jubilee of God. Amen? Now, I want you to notice that Jesus said that He was anointed to proclaim this. Amen? If Jesus is anointed to proclaim it, you're anointed to name it. You're anointed to possess it. You're anointed to have it. If Jesus was anointed to say it, then you're anointed to get it. Amen? Hallelujah. Because we're going to see that when Jesus came on the scene, I mean, He is the ultimate Jubilee, right? He pulls you up from the miry clay and sets your feet upon a rock. He is the one that brings change in our life. He is the one that transforms us. And when, how many know that your life is different since you've known Christ? Amen? A change has taken place. If any man be in Christ, he's what? New creature. That's a change, isn't it? Old things are what? Passed away, and all things what? Become new. Amen? So we're going to experience Jubilee tonight. And I'm so excited to get into this. Hallelujah. And this word, Jubilee, it means acceptable. It means favorable. It means welcome. You know, when God accepts you, good things happen. You know what? God has accepted every one of us. The Bible says that you are accepted in the beloved. Say, I'm accepted. You don't have to work to be accepted. You just are. Because God loves you. And so He accepts us. And it's agreeable. It's the agreeable year of the Lord. It means that God is going to reconnect us with things that were lost. Hallelujah. It means God is willing to accept his people. It means that God is willing to receive sinners to himself. God received you to himself. What was God doing? He was reconciling the world to himself in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And we all have this ministry of reconciliation. Did you know that? Each one of us have that. And what this means was, you know, if someone was guilty, you can return and God will graciously receive you. We know that from the prodigal son, right? He did his own thing. He rebelled. And what happened? But he came back home. And what? He was received. He was welcomed. He was accepted by his father. It means that liberty has come to slaves. You're no longer a slave when it comes to Jubilee. It means that your debts are remissed. If you owed a debt and you were in the year of Jubilee, you were restored. That debt was canceled. It was wiped out. That's good news, isn't it? When you connect with your Jubilee, you could become debt-free in that moment. Amen? In that moment. God can do amazing things. And it means that you were restored to your possessions that were lost. People who mortgaged their house in the year of Jubilee, their mortgage was released. And it was restored to the original owner. Amen? So if you had to sell something to pay off a debt, it's restored in the year of Jubilee. So let's look at this a little bit closer. I want you to go to the book of Leviticus. Isn't that an exciting book, Leviticus? Reading Leviticus is just awesome. You just got to get past some of the names and the repeats of things. But you know what? God's got some good truth. This is broccoli for your spirit. Amen? And I want you to look at Leviticus 25 and look at verse 6. We're going to read to we'll start with verse 8 and we're going to read to verse 19. And you shall number 7 Sabbaths or weeks of years for you, 7 times 7 years. So the total time of the 7 weeks of years shall be 49 years. And then the 50th was the year of Jubilee. Then you shall sound abroad the loud trumpet on the 10th day of the 7th month. That's almost October. On the Day of Atonement, blow the trumpet in all your land. And you shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout the land. That's awesome. To all its inhabitants, it shall be a jubilee to you, and each of you shall return to his ancestral possession, which through poverty he was compelled to sell. I'm reading from the Amplified. And each of you shall return to his family, from whom he was separated in bond service. You know what? Sometimes we get some family members that are in bondage, right? But Jubilee's coming, and they're coming out of bondage. The shackles are going to be removed. Amen? Verse 11, that 50th year shall be a jubilee to you. In it you shall not sow or reap and store what grows of itself, or gather the grapes of the uncultivated vines. For it is a jubilee, it shall be holy to you. You shall eat the increase of it out of the field. In this year of jubilee, each of you shall return to his ancestral property. That means you get your inheritance. Oh, that gets me excited. And if you sell anything to your neighbor or buy from your neighbor, you shall not wrong one another. In the Jubilee, everybody had to be fair and just. According to the number of years after the Jubilee, you shall buy from your neighbor, and he shall sell to you according to the number of the years remaining in which you may gather the crops before you must restore the property to him. If the years to the next Jubilee are many, you may increase the price. And if the years remaining are few, you shall diminish the price. For the number of the crops is what he is selling to you. You shall not oppress and wrong one another, but you shall fervently, reverently fear God. For I am the Lord your God. Therefore you shall do and give effect to my statutes, keep my ordinances, and perform them, and you will dwell in the land in safety. The land shall yield its fruit. You shall eat your fill and dwell there in safety. So here's some things that we can glean from this passage of Scripture. All right? The Jubilee is a cycle of 7 years times seven. Okay? Which is 49. And then the 50th year, Jubilee was celebrated for an entire year. And what that means is seven represents fullness, abundance, rest, and completion. How many know when the story of Naaman? You know the story of Naaman? He was a general in Syria, but he had leprosy. And he heard that there was a prophet in Israel. Actually, one of his servants who witnessed to him said, there's a prophet in Israel, and if you go to him, he can heal you. So Naaman went, and the prophet didn't even go out to see him. He sent his servant Gehazi. And he told Naaman to wash in the Jordan how many times? Seven. Now, he at first got upset. You know, you ought to learn how to discern instructions. Amen? Because when someone gives you an instruction, it may save your life. And he got all upset. He said, aren't the rivers in Syria better? Blah, blah, blah. He was like that. But they said, well, if the prophet told you to do some great thing, wouldn't you do it? He said, well, I guess so. So guess what? He made up his mind, and he dipped in the Jordan seven times. And when he came out of that water on the seventh time, what happened? His skin was completely healed. There wasn't a trace of leprosy. Matter of fact, the Bible said his skin was like that of a baby's skin. Okay? So the reason that this is seven, it's significant. Joshua marched around Jericho seven times on the seventh day, and what happened? It was completely demolished. There wasn't a wall standing, and they were able to go in. Okay? Now this word, the Jubilee, it means to be jubilant. It means to exalt. There's joy associated with Jubilee. Okay? And it's closely related to the word trumpet, the word for trumpet. Now, Jubilee means liberty was proclaimed throughout the land. Just think if we made a proclamation of liberty in Palmyra, in Lebanon County, in Dauphin County, it would affect everybody in that area, right? So Jubilee was for everybody. It was for everybody in the land. Say, Jubilee is for me. Say, I'm here to get my Jubilee tonight. To have things restored. To be reconnected with promises. To experience God's power. Hallelujah. And you need to rejoice, amen? So, on the Day of Atonement, which was once a year, at the end of the Day of Atonement, they would blow the trumpets. And the sound of the trumpets, it signified joy and liberation and doing justice and loving mercy. Amen? See, after the guilt was removed, the people could be liberated. Now that's significant. How is our guilt removed as a believer in Christ? with the blood of Jesus, when we come to Christ, what must we do? Repent, right? Okay, I want you to go to Acts 3:19 for a minute. Go to Acts 3:19. This is powerful. See, the reason that Jubilee followed atonement, because atonement dealt with sin. When the Day of Atonement, the sin was removed from Israel. The sin was covered in Israel, and now they could experience the true liberation. Listen, you can't experience liberty if you're bound by guilt, shame, and condemnation. So God has to remove the guilt, shame, and condemnation so you can enjoy the liberty. Acts 3 and verse 19. Peter had gotten up on the day of Pentecost, and he began to preach. And, no, this was after they were inquiring about, John healed this guy at the gate, and he said this: "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be what?" When you blot out something, if you used to using whiteout, how many used whiteout at one time? When you make a mistake, if you're typing a document and you didn't have the fancy erasers like we have today, the electronic, it just removed, you had to use this liquid called whiteout, right? And it would cover the ink where you couldn't see it anymore, and you could redo your mistakes, right? If you made a mistake when you were doing a document, you could apply this whiteout. The whiteout would erase your mistake, and it would give you a new beginning. Oh, are you seeing it? Are you seeing it? So repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Times of refreshing is like Jubilee. It is... There are times in our life, I love it that he used the word times. How many know that we need to be refreshed more than once, more than twice? Amen? Throughout your lifetime, you're going to need several times of refreshing, because we get wore out, we get weighed down, and we need to be refreshed. Amen? But repentance corrects our alignment, because maybe we're not being refreshed because we're not in line like we should be. You know, when something's out of place, there's pain. Pain is signifying that something is not where it should be. It's an indication, okay? So, Jubilee followed the Day of Atonement because God had to deal with the sin and the guilt so that he could bring true liberation. All right? And notice verse 20. "And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things." How many know that there's going to be one ultimate jubilee when we leave this earth and we join Jesus? That's the ultimate jubilee. But until that time, because Jesus Christ is anointed to proclaim Jubilee, we can have a Jubilee anytime we need it. We don't necessarily have to wait 50 years spiritually to have a Jubilee. When you connect with Christ, your Jubilee is waiting for you. Your liberation is right there. When you connect with Christ, you can experience the effects of Jubilee without having to wait 50 years. Can you imagine if we had to wait 50 years for us to be restored and to be repaired and to be delivered and to be connected back with what we lost? Can you imagine if we had to wait around 50 years? Because God sent Jesus Christ, okay? Now, go with me to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. Lord, help me to get all this in. Hallelujah. Look at verse 1. Jesus' cousin John appeared on the scene. And it says, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness. See, God uses preaching to get his message out. He uses the foolishness of preaching. Amen? The simple, when God anoints a man or a woman to stand up and to proclaim the word of God, that's the avenue that God uses to get his power to you. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. So here was John preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. His message was repentance. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight. Sometimes God's got to make some paths straight so that his anointing can come to you. Have you ever experienced obstacles in your way? There are obstacles between you and Jesus, and you've got to overcome these obstacles. For some, it might be fear. For some, it's doubt. For some, it's unbelief. Those are obstacles that people have to overcome to get to Jesus. Okay? And go down to verse 5. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. Why? Because the author of Jubilee was coming. And John had to prepare the way. You might say that John was Jesus' PR campaign. John went ahead of Jesus, and he was preaching the simple message of repentance. He was preparing people's hearts to receive what was coming after him, which was Jesus, who was going to take away the sins of the world, which is Jubilee. Okay? And, you know, when John preached repentance, he was removing the guilt from people's lives, so that they could be liberated, they could be set free, they could experience God's power, all right? And this had to happen so that Jesus could set the people free. If they weren't prepared, you know, God always does things before. God always prepares things ahead of time. How many know that when Jesus left this earth, what is he doing? He's preparing a place for you. Amen? Right now in heaven, they're setting up the table for the marriage supper of the Lamb. They're preparing, right? They're getting things ready. God is always one to get things ready ahead of time. There was a certain time when the Savior could be brought to this earth, because the Savior had to come through the righteous line. It was perfect timing. God's got perfect timing. God's never late. So John was a type of getting rid of the guilt to prepare people for Jesus to receive the Jubilee. Okay? The Jubilee was an actual feast, but what I'm saying is spiritually, we can experience Jubilee when you need to. Okay? Now, in the Jubilee, each of you will return to his family from whom you were separated in bond service. So there's going to be a returning of people, just like there was a returning to Israel. Where did all those people come from? From the four corners of the earth. God brought them and brought them to that little nation and reestablished it in 1948. Okay? So there's going to be a returning in Jubilee. Now, in Jubilee, in the year of Jubilee, you don't have to sow, because God gives the land a rest for that year. Okay? And you can eat what grows by itself in the field, but you can't cultivate it. You can't pull the weeds. You can't trim it. Whatever grows, you get to eat in the field. okay? And there's going to be other things that grow at this time, but it gives the earth rest. And the Bible also said that the Jubilee is holy. It's holy. It's precious to God. I'm telling you something. God wants to see. God hates bondage. We should live free and be holy. We are free to be holy. God said, be holy because I'm holy. Right? And each of you will return to your family's land. Let's say that there were some, you know, every tribe in the nation of Israel received land under Joshua. All the 12 tribes were given portions of lands that were conquered. It was their inheritance. Okay? And in the Jubilee, you get to return to your inheritance. If somewhere along the way you lost your inheritance, maybe through tragedy, maybe through an economic disaster, maybe through something else that you ended up losing your inheritance, God will reconnect you with your inheritance in Jubilee. Hallelujah. And Jesus, you know, we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And in Jubilee, you shall not wrong one another or oppress one another. Jubilee kind of evens the playing field. When God instituted the Jubilee, he eliminated permanent class systems that would separate people socially and economically. People would not remain impoverished for long periods of time because in Jubilee they were reconnected with what their family owned. Amen? Now, Jubilees will occur automatically. Jubilees are designed to purge systems. Okay? And with God, you can participate in his Jubilee willingly, or it's going to happen whether you participate in it or not. It's better to participate in it willingly than just to have it happen. Okay? In Jubilee, we're supposed to keep God's statutes and ordinances and perform them to dwell in the land safe. If you want to dwell in the land safety, you better be connected to God's word. You can't just have God's word as a trophy on a shelf. You've actually got to get into the Bible. You've got to study it. You've got to learn it. And the learning doesn't stop until you go to heaven. And even there, it's not going to stop. But the learning is more accelerated in a glorified body. Amen. Do you realize that the Word of God is your only defense against the enemy? You've got to know this Word. You've got to know the Bible. Say, memorize Scripture. Say, I've got to memorize Scripture. And not just for the sake of knowing it in your head, you got to have it in your life. Because God will expect you to use this scripture to come against the enemy when he attacks you. Every part of the armor is the word. And God brings jubilees so that you can get reconnected with God's word. You know, it's easier to connect in God's word when it's peaceful rather than turmoil. That's why he tells us to pray for peace. Okay? During the Jubilee, even though you don't sow, the land will yield its fruit and you shall eat your fill. God knows how to take care of you. Your source of good things in your life is God. Your retirement is not your source. Your investment is not your source. You know, your rich friends and family members aren't your source. God is your source. And we always got to keep that perspective. That means when the river dries up, we know that God will still provide for us, like it did for Elijah. God told him to go to the brook. God just used the brook for a period of time. But guess what? When the brook was done, God had another avenue, but he was Elijah's source of provision. So no matter where you go, no matter where you end up, know that God will provide for you and he will not forsake you. He didn't take us out and bring us this far to take us back again. Okay? And if you wanted to redeem a person in debt during Jubilee, it was calculated based on the next Jubilee. Okay? So you'd pay less if it was closer to the Jubilee, and you'd pay a little bit more if it was further away from the next Jubilee. And in Jubilee, everyone has a chance to start over. Jubilee is a second chance at getting to where God wants you to be. How many know the prodigal son had a second chance when he came home? He could do things over. He could do things differently. Doesn't mean, you know, he probably still had some regrets, but forget about the regrets. Forget about what's behind and press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Forget about what's behind. Say, I forget what's behind me, but I'm looking forward to what's ahead. Too many people are bound by the past. You can't do anything about it anyway. You can do something about now. Okay? Because God wants his people free. So, go with me to why don't you go to Luke 19? Luke 19. I want to show you just a couple instances that the moment you connect with Jesus, you can experience a jubilee. Okay? Things can start to turn around with Christ. Okay? Luke 19. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the IRS. And he was rich. He was the chief tax collector. But at this time in Zacchaeus' life, he was without Christ. And he was in bondage, but he was about to experience a jubilee. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was. He heard about him. He wanted to see him. He wanted to know who he was. He wanted to see this man who he'd heard all these stories about. And he could not for the press or the crowd because he was of little stature. Let me tell you, if you think you're little, don't let it stop you. Don't allow any natural limitation from you getting to Jesus or getting what Jesus has for you. You've got to determine in your heart that you're willing to climb over any mountain, go through any valley to get to Jesus. And nothing is going to stop you. Nothing is going to restrict you. Nothing is going to hold you back. And when you make that decision, you can leap over walls and leap through things. Okay? So he ran before and he climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass by that way. How many know that there are times when you got to get into a position to receive from Christ? Sometimes people don't receive because they're out of position. They're in the wrong place at the wrong time. God says, be here, and you're over there. Zacchaeus had to get into position to receive from Christ. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he saw him. Jesus looked at Zacchaeus, for he and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste. What does make haste mean? When God says hurry, you don't wait. When God says now, you don't say later. Make haste and come down, for today, everybody say today, I must abide at your house. Oh my goodness. Because Zacchaeus got himself into the right position, the word was receptive to Zacchaeus. He was able to receive from the word because he was in the right position at the right place at the right time. And guess what? He had to press through some things to get there. Sometimes you're going to have to press through some things to experience your jubilee. Now, and he made haste. He did exactly what God said. When God gives you instruction, don't add to it, don't take away from it, just do it. Amen? You don't have to ask why. You don't have to ask how. You just do it. God says, go here. You go here. Say, here I am, God. You've just done your responsible part. And then the rest is up to God. Okay? That's called faith. Zacchaeus could have quit. He could have said, oh, that's too hard. You mean I got to climb a tree? I ain't climbing no tree. These are good shoes. I don't want to tear my clothes. But listen, sometimes you got to be willing to do things that you're not so willing to do sometimes. If God told you to roll on the floor, you might think it's crazy, but I'd be rolling on the floor. Why? Because, listen, God's instructions don't always make sense to the logical mind. But you got to know God's voice. When you know God's voice, you got to be able to do what he says. Okay? He made haste. He came down. Notice, received him what? Joyfully. Jubilee is associated with joy. And when they saw it, they all murmured. I can't believe. Can you imagine? Jesus is going with Zacchaeus. Listen, Zacchaeus did an audit on me last year, and he robbed me of $1,000. They were murmuring. He was gone to be a guest with the man that is a sinner. Well, yeah, because sinners need help. Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, this is the jubilee, Lord, behold, the half of my goods I what? I give to the poor, and if I've taken anything from any man by false accusation, I will what? Restore him. All of a sudden, Zacchaeus became a giver. Half of my goods to the poor. And if I've wronged anybody, I will restore four times. Zacchaeus just met his jubilee. Because in that jubilee, Zacchaeus' nature was changed from one of selfishness to generosity. Listen, there's no such thing as you can't love God and be selfish. It's like oil and water. They don't mix. And Jesus said unto him, this day, the day that was acceptable to God, the day of God's favor. God had an appointment with Zacchaeus to give him his favor, and to give him his goodness, and to give him his favor, his grace. And Zacchaeus had to get into the right place at the right time. He was being led by the Spirit and didn't know it. Today, salvation has come to this house. For as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. And as they heard these things, he added and spoke a parable because he was near to Jerusalem and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. So here was Zacchaeus. He was in bondage to himself. Prior to this day, he always put himself first. He took care of numero uno. But someone must have been praying for Zacchaeus. Because how can they pray unless someone be drawn? Something was working behind the scenes, drawing Zacchaeus to this point and to this day. And his heart was open. Okay? He just needed to have that connection. So here was Zacchaeus. He was willing to give half his goods to the poor and four times to anybody that's Jubilee, isn't it? He was willing to restore what he had taken four times. That's Jubilee. Zacchaeus was filled with joy. That's Jubilee. Zacchaeus wanted to honor God. That's Jubilee. See, all these things are occurring in Jubilee. Zacchaeus had a spiritual Jubilee. Glory to God. Got time for one more? Go to Luke 8. Luke chapter 8. And go down to verse 26. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils long time, and wore no clothes, neither abode in any house but in the tombs. Can we see what's wrong with that picture? This naked guy shows up who's not living in a house but living in tombs, you know? And he comes to Jesus, okay? He had devils a long time. This man lived a life of bondage for a long time. People would have thought he was crazy. Other people might have said he's the town drunk. You know? Oh, that's old Crazy Joe over there. But when he saw Jesus, he cried out. This man was in bondage. This man was possessed. This man was a captive of the devil. You know what he needed? To be set free. And with a loud voice said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, the Son of the Most High? I beseech you that you torment me not." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he broke the bands, and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. So he was not with his family. He was in bondage. He was being driven by the devil. He would break chains. He lived in the tombs, and he didn't feel like wearing any clothes. And Jesus asked him, saying, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. See, the devil wants to express himself and he needs a body. The greatest expression of the enemy is to have a body. Okay? And there was a herd of many swine feeding on the mountain, and they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. You know what? I want you to notice that the devils didn't have a choice. They were going to come out of that man no matter what. Because that demon-possessed man came to the wrong person. You know, that just shows you how dumb the devil is. They drove him right to Jesus. And then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place in the lake and were choked. The devils didn't, or the pigs didn't even want the devils in them. And when they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it into the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done, came to Jesus, and found the man out of whom the devils departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. He went from being captive to being free in one meeting because he met Jesus. He experienced a jubilee. He was restored to his right mind. The devils had lease on his mind. How'd the devils get in? I don't know. He must have gave them place somewhere down the line. The Bible doesn't tell us how the devils were there. It just said that they were there. But when they met Jesus, they had to go. So he was restored in his right mind. He was reconnected with clothes. And he could sit down calmly because of he met his jubilee. You know, because Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. And his situation changed the moment he connected with Jesus. Do you realize the moment you believe God, power is made available to you? The minute you hear God's word on a matter, you have faith to overcome that matter. Amen? Your situation can change. Lack can turn into plenty in one moment. Fear can turn into faith in one moment. Depression can turn into joy in one moment. Why? Because that's what Jubilee is all about. God has plans for every person. Why? He knew you while you were in your mother's womb. God had plans for you. Maybe somewhere along the way, you got disconnected from God's plan and you started doing your plan. Well, you can be reconnected with God's plan right now. Amen? You can have God's power made available to you right now. Because that's Jubilee. It's time to be joyful. Amen? It's time to sound the trumpets. Liberation and joy for everybody! Come and get it! Liberation and joy for everybody, young and old, short and tall, male and female. You know, God's ringing the dinner bell, and he's saying on the porch, come and get it. Ding, 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 come and get it. And when the people are out in the field, they hear that bell, what do? They stop what they're doing, and they run to the house. Why? Because they know what's associated with that bell, good things. God's ringing the bell. His favor is ready to be poured out on you, but you got to get into the position to receive of his jubilee. God can turn things around. No such thing as luck. You don't live by luck. You're not people of chance. You're people of faith. Amen. Good things come from God. Bad things come from the devil. And it doesn't matter if it's good or bad. You can rejoice either way. Because there's always good to find. Amen? So I don't know if you're here tonight and you need some situations in your life to turn around. You're in the right place. Amen? Jesus is right here, and he wants to connect his favor with you. He wants to shower his goodness upon you. Amen? He wants to connect you with the power of Jubilee. And he's going to tell the devil, get your hands off of that stuff. You don't own it. He does. Don't cry over what's lost. Rejoice on what's gained. If you've lost your way, Jesus is the way. You can find it. If you don't know how to deal with the things that you're dealing with in life, God does. He knows how to. He knows exactly what you're going through. He knows exactly how you feel. And if you just turn to him, he can help you. Or you can just try to figure it out on your own. But look at how far that's got us. Amen? So I would just like to pray for you tonight. I believe that times of refreshing will come right now, right tonight. Amen? And if you're here tonight on this Wednesday night and you need prayer, I just want to pray for you. I want you to be connected with your Jubilee. Pain has got to leave your body so that healing can come in. Depression has got to go so that you can rejoice. Fear has got to go so that faith can reside. Let's kick the doubt out so God can bring you out. Amen? Amen? It's not a time to complain or moan. It's a time to receive. You have a legal right because of what Jesus Christ has done on the cross and through the resurrection to claim what is yours and to be restored. And it can affect your whole family. So if you need prayer tonight, I'm making it available. All those who need prayer, come up now and receive. Father, we give you thanks and praise for the power of your Holy Spirit that's moving in this place. And Lord, I just thank you, Father, for connecting us with the power of Jubilee. It's the culmination when all things are returned to us, Father, that are rightfully ours. And we're here to lay claim to what you've given us. We're here to possess the blessing and the promises that you've declared in your word, Father. We're here with bold faith in Jesus' name. And we give you thanks and praise for turning things around in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father, for the power of the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hour, this is our moment of Jubilee where we experience the true freedom of Christ. Father, in Jesus' name, I declare and I decree true freedom and liberation in the name of Jesus. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, and the Spirit of the Lord is in you. He's on you. He covers you. He leads you. He guides you. He fills you. So, Father, right now, I thank you, Lord, that you connect her with her Jubilee in the name of Jesus. You return, you restore, and you repair in Jesus' name, and you make it brand new. I declare it to be brand new, Father, brand new. Oh, Lord, let her break through into the brand new in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, Father, anoint her. It's a brand new season now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh,